can move into some anger, some rage, exercising the demons, kicking some sad, sorry sex off the lawn.
It'll be nasty.
Your subscription renewal transaction was held up due to a technical processing delay.
Yeah, I canceled it. I didn't choose Sports Illustrated. Relationship over.
And you can do more than get off my lawn. You can get off my planet.
Feel no Black Betty. No Blam-Blam.
You might have seen a giant redhead storming the field. Stomping a mud hole and walking it dry.
Yeah. Where are we going next, man? We've been on Jax for 2 years.
Because we're going to get some turds in this life.
Hit me, man. What do you got for a question?
What is your go-to movie franchise?
Al, we got to get to trophies. What do you got? In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla and Rest of the Podcast presents Rogue Day Tots. I am Handsome Kevin, and I'm here with my island boy, the Big A himself. Tropical Treehorn, the lover boy. The grass skirt still doesn't quite cover his nards. Tropical, I see you're wearing that A's hat, man.
Yeah.
The big A, right? Yeah. The big A. How are you feeling about that?
I'm kind of in mourning. You know, the Oakland A's, when we were growing up, was a fun franchise to watch. You had the Bash Brothers there, Ricky Henderson still in bases, Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah.
But then you go into the early 2000s and you had those Moneyball A's, which, in all fairness, Jason Giambi was my favorite Oakland A.
Okay.
Until he signed with the Yankees. Then I had to despise his soul. But, I mean, I get it. You know, you were going to get generational wealth.
Right.
With one contract with the Yankees, and Oakland was not going to pay you.
Correct.
But it's still kind of a bummer that the A's have played their last game at the Coliseum.
Is it though, Al? Like,
well,
I
needed a new stadium,
right?
Granted, but yeah. I feel bad for the city of Oakland because, like that fan base, they love the A's, and that was the thing that, you know, it's like, hey, if you put in what the fans, you know, put in. Yeah, because there was games this season that they tried to hold tickets to act like, oh, well, see, we're not selling tickets. And it's like, you're not putting them up for sale.
Right.
Like, there's whole sections of the stadium. It's like an AEW show.
Right.
You're not putting them up for sale.
But Al, with that, though, man, like, even before all of this came to light that, you know, they might be moving and all those type of stuff, it's not like they were moving tickets or putting out a competitive product. And it feels like a lot of it was revolved around the stadium in the city. Obviously, they wanted a, you know, a stadium, and they should have a stadium. That, as far as I'm aware of, everybody that I've talked to that's either been to the stadium or you listen to not reporters, but commentators that have worked in that stadium, they all say it's the worst, like, well, not even close. So
it's
at
the
point,
oldest,
like, right. Yeah, I mean, you got that too.
Yeah, it's the oldest, of course.
There's got to be some type of a balance there. Like, I I'm not an Oakland A's fan, right?
Yeah.
I never have been. They were a really fun team to watch, like you said before, in the 90s and things like that. But it really doesn't break my heart that they're leaving. You know what I mean? And we see this a lot when, like, fans are, and I know there's diehard Oakland A's fans.
Yeah.
But when fans are a little bit more in and out, and I mean, even years ago when they were still not putting a competitive product in the field, it's not like they were selling tickets. So how hardcore could how hardcore and loyal could the fan base really be if the product isn't great and you're still not, you know,
well,
you're still not pulling numbers?
This year.
Mm-hmm. This year.
Every weekend game sold at least 25,000 tickets.
Well, they're on their way out.
But, I mean, like, the last couple seasons, every weekend game, they're like, yeah, there was low attendance on a lot of the weekday games and stuff like that. People have jobs and commutes and all this other stuff, school for kids. But, like, it was one of those that I'm not saying the owner is the only one at fault.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of players and, you know, former players and stuff that's came out, like, this guy shouldn't own a team and stuff. And I really like what Eric Burns said on his podcast. He is one of the most high energy guys. If you haven't listened to Deuces Wild with Eric Burns and Will Clark or The Daily Hustle, like, I realize it's an acquired taste for a lot of people. My wife despises anytime because he's kind of a shouter at times.
Gotcha.
Like, he's a loud guy, but he's very passionate. And that's what he said. He's like, you know, it breaks your heart that the deal couldn't get done, like, for a stadium, like, between the city, between the ownership, like, getting an agreement on something to make this, because in, 5 years, they've lost all three sports franchises.
Yeah.
That they had in Oakland.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's obviously disappointing, but there's got to be something with the city, too, then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there has to be. And this one, like, Oakland... The Raiders leaving and going to Vegas didn't bother me in the slightest. It almost seems like they should be in Vegas. The one that bothered me more than anything was the two franchises that went to LA. Like, the San Diego Chargers, and obviously they had some very fair weather fans, but it makes sense. Look at where they live. Like, it's San Diego. Like, as far as I know, those San Diego peeps, they just want to be hitting the waves, very relaxed city, not, you know, hardcore about much. But when San Diego was competitive, the Chargers were competitive. It was a very fun team to watch, and they were moving tickets for sure. And St. Louis, I just feel bad because you're taking that, you know, that Rams team in a Midwest market, and away they go. And, I mean...
Well, St. Louis built them a stadium.
Right.
But St. Right. Louis did the work. That's the thing. And they still... Screw you guys.
Well, see you later. Yeah, so that was a little bit more, I guess, in my mind, impactful than Oakland leaving. And I know there's Oakland fans who are like, yeah, you're a moron. And that's fine. That's okay. Like, I understand. You're sad you lost your team. You know, the Phoenix, or the, not the Phoenix, but the Arizona Hockey team, they're gone.
Yeah.
They went to Utah. You know what I mean? Like, these franchises shift and move to better their situation, their owner situations, and new stadiums and things like that are going to be, I think as time moves on, a bigger and bigger piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, though, that, again, the A's were the affiliate for my Huntsville Stars.
Right.
Like, for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which people talked about, you know, when Mark McGwire, like, the few weeks that he and Jose Canseco were here in Huntsville, like, it was just crushing the ball all over the place.
Right.
You know, they weren't here long. Like, we're a double A affiliate, and, you know, they weren't sticking around.
Of course.
But I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, like I said, you know, Eric Burns, I really enjoy his podcast. He played, you know, kind of all over for them, you know, on those Moneyball teams and stuff, and talking about, like, getting his opportunity. He was a Northern California kid, so, like, okay, they went to a lot of A's and Giants games.
Yeah.
And so it meant something to him to be drafted to, you know, kind of that hometown Oakland team. So, you know, I do feel bad for, you know, that city. The fans of the city, you know, not so much the city, because there's things that you can do. There's effort that can be made that appears to have not been made.
Right.
And so that's why I wear my hat. I've always, you know, had, you know, an affinity for, like, their uniforms. Mm-hmm. I like the yellow.
Yeah.
Just the big A on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always enjoyed that. There's just something about it. But, yeah, they were a fun team to watch growing up. I remember growing up, and the Braves were terrible before their run in the 90s started. Yeah. Like when they were just god-awful.
Yeah.
And they traded away Dale Murphy, and I was like, you're never going to win a game now. They traded away Dale Murphy on their future, is what they did. So.
They're also heading to Vegas, are they not?
So next season they'll play in Sacramento.
Okay,
and
I knew that.
There is rumblings that Sacramento may not give them, like, they may be good enough to, they just become the Sacramento A's, or if they change the name, whatever it may be.
Okay.
But it may not move, because it sounds like Las Vegas does not want them.
I heard that. Yeah, I read that, because they said that. Yeah. I think they got a little ahead of the gun like 2 years ago and said they know exactly where the stadium's going to go and all this other kind of stuff, and that might have upset the city a little bit. I don't know. I didn't deep dive into it when it happened, but I've read that as well, that they just don't want them there.
I've heard that, like, the parking for the Raiders like is non-existent. Like basically you need to take public transit in, see if you can get a ticket, you know, if not, take public transit back out of the stadium area.
Yeah.
Like it was not well planned. Like it was just kind of, we're throwing up a stadium in Vegas. Watch this. And
check me out. Vegas Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's always interesting to see these teams move and shuffle around, because for so long it was not like a very common practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like through our youth, it wasn't a common practice to see teams move, just period.
In our lifetime, we've seen a handful. Granted, there's been more hockey, you know, we don't want to bring up the North Stars here. Like I know a lot of Minnesota fans, that's still a very raw spot. Like,
yes, it is.
But I mean, that's one of the things, like, you know, you look at that, I mean, but the Utah Jazz, there's no Jazz in Utah. It's because they were in New Orleans originally, and, you know, it wasn't fielding a team. So, you know, we're just going to move them, keep the name. I mean, we look at all the teams that we've seen change, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, the original Charlotte Hornets became the New Orleans Pelicans.
And then we got the Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah. They got the Hornets then back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Man, a lot of interesting things, man. When you start thinking about the way that, like, sports have shuffled and teams have shuffled and I don't know. I remember when Red McCombs bought the Vikings. Vikings fans, and at the time they were not fielding a very competitive, they were blacking out games locally. And that was not a common, I mean, now you would never hear of that. Back then, every now and again, you'd have a blackout on a Sunday NFL local game. Crazy to even think of now. But, like, that was their big concern, was that McCombs bought the team because he wanted a team in San Antonio. So everybody was just concerned to hell, like, what was going to happen with the team. Like, we're still having blackouts. We can't watch the game on Sundays. Like, what is going on? He didn't move the team to San Antonio. But in my mind, I was like, golly, wouldn't that be something? Another Minnesota team moved to Texas. That'd be... And I know my team's not going anywhere, hell. They're not going anywhere, and it's okay by me.
But what if they did?
Shut
your mouth.
It can't happen. Can't happen. Won't happen. Would never happen. They are where they are, and they'll always be there, Al. So
you say that. Give it time.
don't you start being the son of a bitch on me. Don't you do that.
We've spoken a lot of things into existence.
Hey,
on this show.
Hey, let's not talk like that. That's bad talk. Bad talk. Anyways, Al, let's. What do you want to do, man? You want to get into it? You want to?
Yeah.
Exercise the demons. You want to
pick some. I guess we've been nostalgic for, 15 minutes now?
Yeah. We can move into some anger, some rage, exercising the demons, kicking some sad, sorry sacks off the lawn. Al, I know you usually have a list. I think as we get older, we get more upset about more ridiculous things. The floor is yours, Tropical.
So, right now, I'm just going to kick the Kansas City Chiefs off the lawn. Like, I'm over them.
Yep.
The whole thing, you know, the Bengals game, like on the fourth down pass, people are like, oh, they got bailed out by the refs and stuff like that. Well, I mean, it was a bang-bang play. The defender was going for the ball. You could go either way on that play. You can throw the flag or not. But, again, being a Falcons fan, and I rewatched the game, when you're tackling Kyle Pitts in the end zone, like not looking for the ball and no flag is thrown, like at the same kind of crux of the game, okay. Yeah. There's a little, there's an eyebrow raised, but I'm tired of just seeing them in general, like everything. Yeah. Oh, the Chiefs are that. Ah, just get off my lawn. You can pound sand.
I'm pretty much with you. So generally, if I don't have a dog in the fight, I'll probably just cheer for the underdog. And a lot of times that is whoever's facing the Chiefs. And most of it is, I just don't care for Patrick Mahomes. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I'm at. I just don't care for him.
Well, I mean, he was your worst sports personality, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So
makes sense.
I don't necessarily want to cheer against the Chiefs, but I definitely don't care to see Mahomes do well at this point. Just don't like him. I'm with you, Al. I got off my lawn, too.
Injuries in the NFL can get off my lawn. Like, we both play fantasy football. This is getting ridiculous.
I didn't mind seeing some of them that came through, knowing that me and you are head-to-head this week.
Oh, I haven't even looked. Yeah. Like, it's one of those that, I mean, this is a season that it seems to be more amplified because it's higher profile people more consistently getting hurt. Because I know football's a man sport, you know, men are better than women, you know, Oklahoma.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, that.
Yeah. The, it's one of those things though, that like it seems, you know, they keep trying to make this game safer, but they're changing and taking away things that were needed. Like, you know, a lot of the podcasts and stuff I listen to, like that preseason is important.
Yeah.
Like having that full preseason where you can kind of stretch it out and get it. And now like so many teams don't play in the preseason because, you know, don't want to run the risk of a catastrophic injury on a game that means nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I'm just like, the injuries this year is just, it can get off the lawn. Also, we see how important Tua is to Miami because, whoo, that's so bad.
Very bad.
Whoo. Fights at football games again.
Yes.
Why? Why? Why must it be so serious that you got to throw down fisticuffs with somebody at a football game?
Yep.
Just stop it.
So, Al, I think I kicked that off my lawn, I think, last season.
Yeah.
Like, what are you fighting for? Just because they cheered for a different set of clothes than you do? Like, knock it off. Just knock it off. But I was really happy to hear local radio here in Minnesota. They had talked about going to Green Bay with our local radio station. And one of the guys that is one of the commentators, the radio commentators for the Vikings, goes, Green Bay is the only place that I'd love to go because you're welcome there. It's like, it's the only place that we go. He's like, you're not in fear. It's like, the fans, you might get somebody yell at you, go Pack, go. He's like, that's as far as it goes. Like, it's such a welcoming area for people to show up. Visitors, it's a nice place to be. And that made me that much happier to be a fan of that team.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, man, like, you root for your team. You can be disappointed they lost, you know, happy they won. You can still show class.
Yes. Like, yep.
100%. You know, unfortunately, people take the CL out of class, and that's what they show. Is, that's the agitator in our washing machine can get right off my lawn.
I want to hear this.
So, Cassie, she's noticed, like, she's had this washing machine, and just like, hey, yeah, kind of got a smell to it right now. You know, thing, you know, want to see how to clean it. Well, she does a deep dive on a video, and turns out you can take the agitator because it's the agitator list. Like, it doesn't have the big rod in the middle of the washing machine. It's
we got one like that. Yeah.
Just the drum down in the bottom. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, you should take this off like every year and clean it. It's did not know this.
No.
So Cassie goes to look up videos. You pop this cap off. It's got a nut there. You can, use your sockets, get the nut out and everything like that, and go to pull the agitator up. We're watching videos. This sucker's in there. Well, one guy uses a shoestring, like basically get it, you know, tucked in there, get it underneath, and, you know, pop it out. I'm not as strong as I used to be, but I still can.
Like, I used to be much stronger.
Yeah, I'm like deadlifting with everything that I've got, like borderline going to stand on the washing machine to try to deadlift this thing up. Yeah. It's not budging. And so she digs a little deeper and finds that One of the gimmicks you can get is these inflatable bags that you can tuck underneath there, like from Home Depot.
Okay.
And we get those. Try the same thing because everybody's like, oh, and then you can pour hot water in it if it's not popping up right away, and it should just pop it right up.
Right.
No, that agitator's still on there. So she's found a new, there's a cleaning thing that she's, I guess, ordered off of Amazon that we're going to give that a whirl, run that through, and then try to pop it up to break it down. Because basically it's like, yeah, if it's, you're still having trouble at this point, like it's like more or less adhered on there. You'll have to break that somehow.
That doesn't like seem as, right.
Well, like as far as the, you know, where everything is kind of set, you know, kind of got gunky.
Yeah.
At times, yeah. You know, from wash after wash after wash, because our right. washing machine gets used, it feels like constantly on the weekend. Yep. I love my wife, but she does a lot of laundry.
Yeah.
And she is vehement about that, which I'm very thankful for. I don't have to do my own laundry. It's wonderful.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Not bad.
But that's one of the things that I, like, with those bags, with everything, I'm lifting, like, doing everything I can, like, straining in ways I haven't strained in years, like just trying to, it won't break free. So that agitator can get right off the lawn. Like it's,
you know what I, you know what I took out of all that, Al?
What?
Tony, I hope you're listening, Double T. You, you use the sockets to get the nut out.
Oh, it's tool time with Kevin.
That's what I took out of it, man. You got me right there, and I didn't want to stop you because you're feeling it. But I was like, wait a second, you're using sockets to get the nut out? All
right. Yeah.
Sorry, Al, didn't mean to slip there, but
yeah, you can get off the lawn just in general, Kevin. I don't know what it is about you. Something about your face. Just oh.
Sockable Face Club.
Yeah. Sports Illustrated.
Oh, boy. I know about this one.
So, years ago, I bought one of those gimmicks, like when, you know, kids are doing the fundraisers and stuff at school, and occasionally they'll sell magazine subscriptions. Yeah. And I believe I got it from my buddy Heath, like his daughter Evie, when she was in the Girl Scouts. Her, Isla, one of the two girls. We bought some magazine subscriptions from them. Sports Illustrated was one of them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's one of those that I didn't mind having the magazine. I'd read every once in a while. It's went downhill like since we were growing up. It's not the same, like, you know, magazine. There's a lot of agendas being pushed, I'll just say that, in Sports Illustrated, that it's why it's dipping. Well, I had canceled last year. Unfortunately, I had not canceled in time to get it where I didn't get another year of right. subscriptions. So I was like, all right, well, I'm canceling it. Like, done. Like, right. don't want it anymore. I'm mm-hmm. good. So this last year, they finally quit coming to the house. And I was like, all right, it's done. Get a notice in the mail from Sports Illustrated. Automatic renewal notice. I canceled. Automatic renewal says, dear Alan Day, you received your final issue of your current Sports Illustrated subscription with the 624 issue. While you remain a preferred member of our continuous service program, your subscription renewal transaction was held up due to a technical processing delay. Yeah, I canceled it. This is a notification that unless you contact us using the methods below by 10/31/24, we will use the credit card on file to process your renewal for a new subscription term at the low rate of $99.64 for an additional year. Your renewal will resume with the 724 issue and end with the 625 issue. If you do not wish to continue your subscription, call us at, and it gives a number, or visit si.com/myaccount by 10/31. Thank you for choosing Sports Illustrated. I didn't choose Sports Illustrated. All right? I canceled it. There's a reason it was held up. There's a reason it was gone. I canceled. And now it's, oh, we're going to auto-renew you, bud. Yeah. We noticed you didn't renew. We're going to do it for you. Unless you tell us not to. I already did. Last summer, I told you, no mas. I'm out. Done. I wish I could have got the refund back on the Sports Illustrated. But it's done. It's over with. Relationship over. It's like the girlfriend that won't go away.
Right.
So obviously I have to get an answer on this one, Al. Did you contact Sports Illustrated?
So the website would not work because I called them and it was all automated.
Okay.
Like it kept automated, but I like canceled through that, and it's like, all right, we will whatever. I'm going to call them back because it's like, I don't think you guys get it the first time. And the website was down for maintenance.
Okay.
Just so happened to be that day. Like, down for maintenance. Well, I guess people were canceling. It's like, oh, we can't have them do this. Right. We need them to auto-renew.
Right. Thank you for choosing Sports Illustrated. Do you get the swimsuit issue? Is that still a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's part of the package, part of the
deal?
That
is part of the annual thing. Okay.
All right. Not bad. It's been a real long time since I've had any type of magazine subscription.
Yeah.
Real long time. And I think when I did have it, it was way back when you had to get like a money order.
Yep.
And then you get that, you know what I mean? You're good for that set amount because you paid for it. And then there's no auto renew. There's no, if you would like to continue your subscription, please send in the money.
Yeah.
We don't have that type of subscriptions anymore, Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping not to have a subscription anymore. But.
Well, what if you take a different take on this, Al? I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you keep those Sports Illustrated in pristine condition?
No. I usually end up reading what I want to out of them and
hucking them. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Because aren't Sports Illustrated, aren't they supposed to hold some value to them?
So some of them do.
Okay.
Some of, on occasion, rare like covers and things like that. Usually, the past few years, if I got anything with Alabama people on the cover, I'd ask my brother, hey, do you want this?
Right. Okay.
Like, before I toss it. Like, if you want it, you can have it,
All right.
But otherwise, she gone.
Okay. And I was just thinking, like, maybe you turn this into a, a side collection.
No, I've already got too much stuff as it is.
I'm just trying to take a negative and make it a positive out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to do here for you, buddy.
Well. I got one last thing. This one hits close to home. This one hits kind of Tot's family a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot's happened past week or so in this country. Hurricane Helene has been ravaging parts of the country. And Western North Carolina is kind of important to this pod because our brother Manny lives in, that Western North Carolina portion, close to the Asheville area. And if you've seen the news, you may or may not know, but Asheville flooded. A lot of these towns, communities like Chimney Rock, basically wiped off the map from these storms. But then, I'm getting word, through different sources and things that there are people basically hoarding supplies and keeping them away from people that desperately need it right now. And you can do more than get off my lawn. You can get off my planet. Okay. There is no place for you. Anybody that is not affording these people that are afflicted, that are hurting right now, that have literally lost everything. And you're delaying aid, you're turning around people that are there to help, threatening people that try to help, outside of your scope, that kind of thing. I mean, I get you don't want random pilots, flying in and out of there, because you can make matters worse at times. I get that. But if you got people wanting to volunteer, you set up a command station. All right, these are the things you got to look out for. These are the things that, these are the areas, map it out, because you've got people wanting to help and are not being allowed to help. again, we don't go political on this show. We don't go anything, you know, try to infer that stuff. But anybody that is denying these people help right now, you get off my planet. You don't even have to worry about the lawn. You get off my planet because this is ridiculous. People lost their babies in this. You know, this is, that one hits home, you know, to me as a parent that, you know, if something happened to OG and I survived, I don't know what I would do with myself. I really don't. But when they're hurting this bad and they need, like, just, they need water. People saying that, you know, oh, well, if they're without power, I was like, yeah, they're without water in a lot of places. I know I've seen, you know, talking back and forth with Manny. Thank God he and his, you know, loved ones there are fine. Just, you know, doing without right now in a lot of ways. But I saw Edge's video, like, yeah, we got power turned back on, but still no water. That's a big deal.
Right.
That is a major deal. So anybody that's hoarding supplies, preventing help, preventing aid, you get off my planet, man. Like, that's, I'm not going to try to go further because I'll get real emotional and start yelling on here. And I don't need to do that, but
right.
It merits it. Yeah. This kind of action merits it.
Yeah. No, and me, I don't, couldn't have said it better myself. Don't have a lot to add to that outside of, I hope you're doing well, Manny. I hope you're doing well, man. Take care of you and yours. Stay dry. Stay ahead of it. Stay in good spirits. That's one of the things, like, that's one of the things I think about too. Like, the people that are still there, and I'm not going to add much to this, but like trying to lift their spirits. You know what I mean? Like, they're going through a tough time. Like, it sucks being in their situation and without and needing simple things like water, but they also need a smile. You know what I mean? Like, that's it goes a long way. So, I hope they're doing well. I hope that they can find some type of peace in the time that is, man. What, like I say, you said it better than I ever could, Al, and I appreciate that, and also off my lawn and my planet too, man. If people are willing to help, let them help.
Mm-hmm.
Man, now mine seems a little bit trivial, Al.
My bad.
Mine are usually pretty trivial anyways. Al, let me So I went, Al, to local high school football game last night. Now, it was very common. I used to go to the local high school football games every Friday night because the kids that I coached, right? I coached for 14 seasons here. At a lower level, I coached the junior high, but it was nice to see the kids that I coached play, you know, varsity ball. So I did that for years. All the kids that I coach at this point have gone through the system. They're graduated. They're out. They're gone. But I went last night, Al, and the last game I went to, I think, was probably 2 years ago, maybe three. And there was an atmosphere. There was an atmosphere when you went there. It was the announcer, the music, the fans, like, everything. And now we got there last night. The music was off. They have a different announcer that, quite honestly, one of the worst announcers I've heard. No, like, it was like he was calling golf and not doing well at it. And that puts the fans at the game. Not much emotion, right? I'm looking down at the sidelines. I don't know who the head coach is. And the team is getting their backside kicked. You should be able to pretty easily pick out who the head coach is, right? There should be somebody motivating somebody on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the most disappointing things I've seen. To see what going to a game on Friday night locally was a couple years ago, and what it is now, it drove me absolutely nuts. It's like the entire coaching staff was just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah,
like you're down by three scores, and you're just walking around casually on the sideline, like laughing, like what? And I know it's high school level, right? There's a fine line between, like, you don't want to get super emotional and yelling at a kid, right? But you should still be motivating. You shouldn't be on the sidelines laughing and cracking wise while your team is getting their backside kicked. And at some point, the head coach should be saying something. And I don't even know who the head coach was, Al. The head coach, like, anytime you see a game on the sidelines, high school, college, NFL, whatever level it is, you can generally say that's the head coach. There was none of that, man. It was so disappointing. We used to have we had a big intro for the team. They come running out. They were announced all together. And the fans would be up. The music would be blasting. The people would be clapping and chanting. Like, and that was before kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And when they announced the kickoff, they would, if the team won the flip, and they would announce that we deferred, people would cheer that we deferred. Because then, you know what happened, Al? The team took the field. We played Black Betty. Everybody was jumping in the stands. We'd kick off, and we were cheering. We were setting a tone, right? We're doing something. Last night, I heard the coin toss. Chisago Lakes win. Have chosen to defer. Then the team gets out on the field. No Black Betty. No Blam-Blam. Nothing's happening, man. Nothing. The announcer that we used to have, hilarious, right? Had a good time. But also, with him having a good time, it engaged the audience, the fans, to engage in the game itself, man. It the entire thing drove me nuts. Like, I looked over to my wife and I said, this is depressing. To know what we used to have a couple years ago to what we have right now. And the product on the field, Al, bad. Just bad. And you're going to have that in high school, right? There's going to be some classes that come through that just aren't there. But I'm talking effort bad. Effort bad. And if it's effort bad, that's a coaching thing.
Yeah.
Right? That is a coaching thing. If you're looking out there and you're seeing poor effort on the field, that's coaching. That's what that is. And Al, I tell you, man, it was 21 rip, I think, in the first. And I'm seeing a team that looks like they're laying down. And I'm seeing a coaching staff that's cracking wise and laughing on the sidelines. What is that? Like, what is that teaching anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody. And I know it's a high school football game. It doesn't mean much. Right? It doesn't mean much. But it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of does. And that it drove me nuts. There was a spot. They finally were driving the ball a little bit. Right? Down 21-0. They're driving the ball. They get to midfield, Al. They get to midfield. It's 4th-and-1 at midfield, and you're down 3 scores, and they punted it. Hoping that their defense can maybe make a stop, and their defense has proven to make 0 stops so far. You need a little momentum. Even if you don't get it, you need the fans to get engaged in it, right? You need something, and nothing was happening, man. I was, oh, boy, was I disappointed.
Yeah,
that's my town, man.
There. Yeah.
Right. Mm. That's my town, right? That's my team, right? The only saving grace, and I will say this, was that the team they were facing that kicked them all over the field Bob Backlund's high school team. So that was the only saving grace. That was
all of that you said, you just ruined it right there. There you go again with your double fisting.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna get your backside kicked by another team, I'm just happy it was Bob Backlund's high school team. That's all. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. Like, you listen to people in the stands that aren't paying attention to the game. Get them engaged in the game. You listen to these sideways fans that think they know all the rules and all that kind of stuff. And every now and again, I'm in my head, I'm like, that's not a high school rule.
Yeah.
That's an NFL rule. So good for you to knowing that that's an NFL rule, but that rule doesn't apply here. You know what I mean? Like, simple things like that.
Well, the easiest places to coach are from the stands or from your couch.
You know, accurate. That's the thing.
So no. I did have one go back because I forgot to put it on the list, but it involves high school football as well.
Yeah.
So my old high school is having a very successful season right now. They're ranked number one in their classification in the state. They're playing really good football. Last night, because we're recording this on Saturday, but last week they played one of the schools here in Huntsville, a 4A school. We are a 2A school, so a bigger school.
Yeah.
And beat the brakes off them. But there's a play where, and I can't remember the Watkins kid first name, but he goes, like, they're running, Randolph High School is running the ball, and they're going, you know, toward the sideline. Well, the kid makes a hit on the player toward the sideline. Like, the Pisgah player hit him. He was still in bounds, like you can see that from the video. But their coach proceeds to grab him and just sling him back.
Huh.
Like, physically, like a physical altercation on the sideline with a coach and a young football player. And the players on the field are like, hey, what's right. going on? So the Randolph coach can get right off the lawn.
Yeah.
You uppity prick.
Yeah.
Well, it's the big private school that basically if you send your kids there and you don't make like $10 million a year, like, you're poor.
Right.
And they're going to, like, it's those kids. So, yeah, we beat the brakes off of them.
Nice. You know,
they're a bigger school, and we just, at their home stadium, just beat the brakes off of them. So that felt nice. But yeah, that guy slinging the kid, you know, get off the lawn. Like, you,
yeah. You don't, I mean, you don't engage in anything like that. Like, players shouldn't.
No.
You don't expect your players to.
It's one thing if he was over at the side and you grabbed him, like, kind of, hey, you know, like,
right,
buddy, like, you know, keep him from falling down, keep him from hurting himself. That's a big thing. Keep him from going into your other players or anything. That's another.
Right.
But he grabbed him and just slung him back, like, in anger. And it's like, nah, bro, if that would have been an older Owen Day, it's like, you might have seen a giant redhead storming the field and stomping a mud hole and walking it dry.
Yeah.
Like, here, yeah. Officer, I'll be done in a second. You can put the cuffs on, but I'm gonna finish this.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's absolutely unacceptable. Yeah. Absolutely unacceptable. And you see those coaches sometimes, like, that think that they're, you know,
Vince Lombardi?
This is an NFL playoff game. And, and it's such a fine line because, like, what he did, unacceptable. The referee should have removed him.
Right? Yeah.
That should have removed him. That should be a zero tolerance situation. But you also don't want a coach that you can't tell who the head coach is.
Oh,
you know
I agree.
I mean? You know what I mean? Like, going from what I just saw the other night, going, yeah, I would have hate to have seen that, but I've loved to have seen a little bit of fire on the sidelines. It's always interesting, man. High school football. And when we left, and I looked over and I just told Molly, I was like, so that was super disappointing, super depressing compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
And that being said, I'm not opposed to going back to another game. You know what I mean? Like, I generally like going to high school football games, but it's just such a shell of what it used to be. And Molly goes, maybe you should call them. You could probably do a better job.
It's one of those things that, when there's an atmosphere to it, man, there's nothing like it. Like, just that energy in the stadium. Like, when I went to that game where they played Fife and there was 6,000 people, that I've never seen that many people there. Like, it just was mind blowing. But everybody was there. The energy was up. Like, both stands, you know, were very much into the game.
Right.
So
about 10 years ago, We had a really good team. We made the playoff, and the playoff was a Saturday.
Yeah,
and I was like, "I'm going. I'm going to go to the, like, I'm in. I'm not going to miss it. I haven't missed any of the home games yet. I think I went to a couple away games that year, and it's a Saturday afternoon home game. I guess kickoff was like 2:00, and the stands outside of, like, the student section and the parent section were empty." And I'm like, how? And, like, Friday nights at that time were packed.
Yeah.
And now it's the playoff game on a Saturday afternoon and we're empty? It's like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. Something's got to be a little bit better locally for me, at least with that. So the product of my local, get off the lawn, get to work, right? Get to work. Stop an aide off the planet. Al's kicking me off the lawn. Who knows why? Sure. Yeah, you got...
Just because of you.
You got to get your
socks... Sports Illustrated, though.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated.
Get out of my mailbox, all right?
Off the lawn, out of the mailbox. Remember, you know, get sockets to get the nut out. Al, where are we going next, man?
So we had an idea proposed by... Because we're, you know, nips deep in this Jack's VCA line. That's fair to say. Had a few episodes. 50-something to be, you know, I think it's 52 episodes of Jack's
VCA. Of Jack's?
That's wow. 2 years.
We've been on Jack's for 2 years?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
When we started Jack's, it was 2 years ago when I went on this beach trip that we're about to do.
Wow.
Because Club Revila. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we've been on Jack's for a while.
We're going to take a, as they call it in basketball, a little 20-second timeout. We're going to divert paths because one of the things we want to sort out in the Jack's line, and that's some effort on my part, is to try to get rid of some of the duplicates. We've heard feedback, and that's one of the things we want to listen to our listeners.
Yes.
So today we're taking a detour. We're swerving off the road a little bit. How's it feel about going out west? Little San Francisco. Original San Francisco toy maker WCW line, Series 1.
I like it, man. I like it.
That's where we're going to head. We're going to do part one this episode because there's like 9 or 10 figs in this line, and we're just going to – we've noticed that if we have to do a deep line, it's better to chop it up a little bit. It's – probably more pleasant on you, the listener, more pleasant on us, on the reviewer. We can really dive deep. But we're going to do Series 1. We're going to do the first four. We're going to start, and it's going to be nasty.
Okay. Al, before we do, man.
I buried the lead here.
Yeah. I mean, well, two things, really. One, this is a very, very special line to me, personally. Because I got my first Johnny B. Bad figure, a figure that I, since the day I got it, has not left my side. It's always been on display any house that I've had, always prominently featured. This is one of my favorite lines for that reason. It does have that Johnny B's in it, right? It was my first Johnny B fig, and I think it was his first Johnny B fig. But Al, you can't forget that if we're going into the mission, we got a very special friends that bring everybody the mission here. Every mission is brought to you by J&J Figures, man. Go check them out. Follow them across social media at J&J Figures. Go to the website. I love the website. They're getting all the new stuff in, Al. You looking for new stuff? They got it. You can pre-order it now. Did you know that, Al? You can start pre-ordering your figs from our good friends over at J&J Figures. You got to go to the website. It's jjfigures.com. Again, jjfigures.com. You go there. You can pre-order your new stuff. You can search the back catalog, see all the old stuff that they're out finding, man. We're doing a mission here. We're finding what the good figs are. They're doing a mission themselves. They're out there finding the good figs, getting them back into the hands of collectors, doing the good thing, man. Doing the good thing. Buy with confidence. Getting their whatnot stream, man. Always a good time. They're packaged with care. They're packaged with love because Jays, old and young, are collectors first, sellers second, man. They know what they're doing. I trust J&J. And if I trust J&J, and I'll trust J&J, maybe you should trust J&J too. Give them a chance, man. Give them a chance. You'll be happy you did. Al, that's all I got on J&J.
Okay, yeah, that's my fault for burying the sponsors. We were just excited about a detour, talking about some new figs, and then here goes Kevin with his Johnny B. Bad crap. And
it's not crap.
Forgot
it's not crap.
The J's.
It's not crap.
Yeah, let me know when you get a Series 2. I'll wait.
You Johnny son B. of a bitch.
Anyway.
Jay, old and young, if you come across a Johnny B. Bad Series 2, shoot me a text, please.
Yes, just immediately. It's sold, all right?
Yeah.
Please, it's sold. But as always, we use Wrestling Figure Database for our on-card photos here, and we will do that this time as well. But we're going to start with the Nasty Boys, and Brian Knobs You ever seen his butthole?
Al, I'm going to tell you right now. Yes, I have, and so have you. talk about a cave of wonders, huh?
Well, we're going to go to the fig now. Just to preface it, this original San Francisco toy maker, this Series 1 line, is kind of the statuesque figures. Again, we grade lines against themselves for what they had available at the time, realizing that, yes, the elite nasty boys are probably better than these. We hear you. We got you. We're just grading these against original San Francisco toy maker lines, what they could have done better, you know, with the technology they had and were employing at that time. But these are the statuesque figures that they're in a pose, and that's it.
Yep.
You know, that's what you got. Brian Knobs, I really think they did a solid job on him as far as, you know, the likeness, the face. You know, he's kind of a stocky build guy. They put the sunglasses on him. He's got the yellow face sunglasses there. They didn't paint the striping. That's extra, I'm sure. You know, it would have been a nice effort, but I understand why. He's got the blonde, you know, kind of mohawk flat top thing going on, the traditional Brian Knobs hair. Both arms are up and the hands are open, kind of like in a body slam pose, the original LJN body slam pose. Got the white wrist tape, black elbow pads, got the black Nasty Boys shirt on with the black pants, black boots. All in all, it's not a bad fig. It's not a bad representation. I do wish he was a little stockier around the midsection.
Yeah,
because he was a bigger fella, and they leaned this one up a little bit. That's kind of one of the misses I'm seeing. But overall, I'm not displeased with this.
So I'm kind of with you, Al. But there's a couple of things that are sticking out to me that I don't like. I like the hair. He always had that weird mohawk mullet type gimmick that he wore, which is fine. Wrist tape, elbow pads, all that. Like I'm pretty much okay with the detail on the boots. Having that little chain thing that is across the boot there, that's a very nice touch. I don't mind the glasses, but one thing that I think is a giant miss is that there's no striping on the glasses. And when I think the Nasty Boys glasses, that was one of the things you always thought about. There's that striping all over, like they have on the shirt, which brings me to the shirt. Decent representation. The thing that I hate is that you have all those lines on it, like the Nasties had on their shirts, and then right in the middle of it, all the lines stop. And there's the Nasty Boys. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the lines don't come near where it says Nasty Boys. And I don't know what the process is in that. But I would have loved to seen those lines have a continuation all across the shirt and then the Nasty Boys over it. Because that looks like there, it just kind of looks a little bit out of place. And I might be being a little nitpicky on that. But then the body as well, like you said, the body is a little bit leaner than it needs to be. I don't hate this fig. I'm not anti this fig, but there is a couple of details where I'm like, man, you guys would have really, really, you know, hit it in stride there had you done those. Like I said, and they seem like minor things, don't they? I don't know what goes into the striping behind the Nasties or stopping the striping and there's the Nasties or a couple of stripes on the. It seems like a couple of stripes on the sunglasses is an easy one, but
yeah. Well, I'm assuming this is probably hand painted at the time. I wish if you'd have done anything, the sunglasses would have just been black across the front. Than the yellow, that would be my thing. But if it was hand painted, even and the Nasty Boy decal, they may have been told to stay out of that zone so the decal laid flat.
Yeah,
because anytime you paint something, you're gonna have like just the slightest of raises, you know, because there's extra paint there. But not having this in hand could not give you that answer. So that's I would like to see a little bit more effort. On that one, in that regard, and then the body type, because I know you make stockier figs in this line, but I guess he was Hogan's buddy, so, you know, you get a more flattering fig.
Right.
You know, but all in all, I'm not upset with this one. I'm sitting at a B+.
Okay.
On this.
B+, this is, wow.
Because the face is... For what it is, for the original San Francisco toy makers, because we're going to get some turds in this line.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be floating in this line. And I really think it's a fine representation. It's not perfect by any means, but it's not a cellar dweller by any means.
Right. Man, B plus. It's certainly above average.
Yeah.
Certainly above average. I was a little bit lower than you, Al, just going into it. Now I'm trying to figure out where I could see, remember I'm missing something. I was more B minus range, just because the easy things that I think that are misses, the slimmer body, knowing that they make like beefier bodied figs. It's not a bad fig, but like there are some, I think some easy misses on this. So I got more B minus.
And that's, I mean, that comes out as a flat B, and I'm okay with that.
All right. Not going to throw down over this one.
No, I mean, I'm like, I do want to look at the Nasty Boy Elite figs, because I believe they do the same thing with the lines a little bit around Nasty. It's just closer. They don't paint the lines underneath Nasty Boys either.
On the Elites, yeah.
On the Elites.
You're right. Like wow.
It's that and the jacket on the shirt. But anyway, we're going to give Knobs a B, and we'll move on to his tag team partner, one Mr. Jerry Sags, if I can get this pen to write, that is. I love taking notes and post-credit stuff. And see, this is a stockier figure already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jerry Sags doesn't have the sunglasses. He's got the, this kind of mullet mohawk thing going on, which Jerry Sags did. They got the hair hanging down on each side there, so you can see the length of the hair. Got the Nasty Boy's tank top. He has the left arm up, closed fist. It's kind of the Greg the Hammer pose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen in the past. I think Hogan had a figure in Series 5 of LJN. Got the black elbow pads, white wrist tape, got the black Nasty Boys, got the black pants with the boots with the chain over the right boot there. Doesn't appear on the left boot. The face is not as good to me. Like, I know you went cartoonish, but it's not as good. But you did black out the tooth, and that is a level of effort that I do appreciate, and I'm not going to... You didn't put the sunglasses on. And so that kind of hurts your set in my book, because they're not as uniform. And these eyebrows, I don't know what they're doing. They're impressive. I'll turn the floor to you and let you take on that face if you want to. Woo!
This is disappointing, Al. The redeeming quality, I think, of this is in the set. Because with this pose and Knobs' pose, you can do the pit stop. That's the only thing that I'm really seeing that I'm like, okay, in a set, this is a little bit redeeming. Blacked out tooth, kind of for whatever reason, looks funky here. Like it looks a little strange.
You needed to paint it the uniform color. Like if his mouth was open and you got a blacked out tooth, the mouth area needs to be black as well to make it match.
Yeah. So that's a little strange for me. The face is bad. Like it's just bad, and I can't place.
It's sloth. It's a hey, it's, you guys.
It's very close. It's very close. I can't put it. It looks like a bad character from an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah,
really looks like. Yeah, really looks like a bad character from an Adam Sandler movie. The chain on one boot is a miss. There's not a lot of good here, Al. The glasses probably would have helped the face a little bit, because you would have been able to not have those ridiculous eyebrows on there that seem just wrong. There's a lot of wrong here, Al. I'm not a big fan of this one. I'm not a big fan. Like I say, the only real redeeming quality here is, as a set, you can perform the stink face, which, or not stink face, the pit stop, when, like, you can't really, these figs with their molds, you can't usually perform a lot of any signature moves. So
no.
I kind of like it as a set, but on its own, it's kind of trash.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I know it's Jerry Sags. So that takes it out of the Cowboy Bob range for me. But I am, like, the redeeming qualities of it, I'm at a D+.
Okay.
That may be generous. It's below average.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might be a little bit generous on this. Just trying to see where I would... Going in, I was thinking D. I can come up to D+. There's just not much. Like, if you take the chain off the boot and the nasties off the shirt there,
yeah,
and you saw it in some random bin, there's no telling that this is a nasty boy. You know what I mean? Like, there's none. There's but
what is this?
Right, exactly. So I'll come up to D+. It's not begrudgingly, Al. Just You're dragging me up.
All right, we will proceed with the next one. Get off of this godforsaken one, and we'll go to. He's American made. I would sing the song, but I don't have the pipes. You know, to hit that Jimmy Hart. The hold the sustain on American.
Yeah.
You know. It's the Hulkster here. His first WCW fig, I do believe, that, you know, of the main line. He is in his signature red and yellow like garb. This is predating Hollywood Hogan, you know, just for those out there. But he's got the bandana, a yellow bandana that says Hulk in a kind of a plain script there. He's got the yellow wrist tape, the yellow tank top on. You know, he's in the classic Hulk, like, you know, series one LJN pose, mm-hmm. so to speak, there, you know, both arms up. Got the tank top on. He's got a world title belt, although that's, I don't know whose world title belt. I guess that was their attempt at Big Gold at the time.
Could be, yeah.
But yellow tights, red knee pads, yellow boots. It's very similar to the pose, again, of that LJN Series 1 Hogan, one of the more famous Hogans out there. Mm-hmm. Old Double D Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
As we refer to him. The face is weird to me, man. Like,
is it really?
Like the cartoonishness of it. Like, that nose is huge, man.
Yeah.
That's a giant honker on him, where he had the D cups last time. He's got the nose. He's the schnoz on this.
He's got
guy.
The schnoz, yeah.
I mean, he's got kind of the Hogan sneer, but it's too much of a smile for me. Like, it's too, you know, a little crazy looking. It's not Jerry Sags bad on the face, by no means. It's, you know, I can believe this is Hulk Hogan, especially with Hulk on the bandana and Hogan on the shirt. And it looks like they did the detail of, like, you know, kind of torn fringes there on the neck and sleeve areas, like where you cut that shirt off. Could have been done with or without that. Probably without that would have been better to me.
Yeah.
But I'll turn the floor over to you. You bask in all that is Hulk Hogan here.
So, first thoughts right away, I'm not opposed to this face. Like, it does have a bigger nose than you would want to see, but it's in my mind, I'm definitely looking at the Hulkster. The thing that I just can't stand here is Hulk across the bandana, Hogan across the shirt, and then you look in the picture on card. The bandana clearly says Hogan.
Yeah.
And the shirt would say Hulk. Generally, the shirt's always said Hulkster.
Yeah.
Always. So that that's a big miss, man. That screams of, like, somebody that doesn't know wrestling made this fig. And quite honestly, doesn't know Hulk, right? That's what I'm seeing here. It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
Did they print the decals for the bandana as Hogan and they were too big? Ah, just put it on the shirt.
Just put it. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Because
figure it out.
The font is right for the bandana.
Right
on the shirt.
Yep. It blows me away. You take the belt off of this, it kind of looks like he's wearing one piece.
Yes.
Don't like that. The fringes on the shirt, man, and I'm not saying that he never wore a shirt that had that type of cut to it, but I don't remember him wearing a shirt that had that type of a cut to it. You know what I mean? Like the zigzag cuts all over the neck and the arms of it. It just looks weird.
It's more of a Macho Man thing.
Yeah.
He cuts the sleeves off his shirts.
Yeah, so that's off. I mean, altogether, if I saw this fig, I probably wouldn't pass it up because it looks so strange for a Hulkster fig. You know what I mean? Not because it's an A-plus fig or anything like that, because it's not. But as a Hulk fig, I'm like, man, this is kind of a novelty, isn't it? It's kind of a
bit.
Yeah, so that being said, not a great fig. I think it's very, very average. I mean, very average. Almost to the point where I'm just going to go ahead and say, I think it's a C, Al. I think it's a C. I think there's a lot of misses on this.
I think I will see you there.
Attaboy.
Yeah, because I feel the same way that it's fine,
mm-hmm.
but it's nothing to just like, it's nothing to get you all, like, get the juices going. Like,
right.
You know, and that's one of the things there is, and I will preface it before we get to our last fig as we give Hogan a C. There are a lot of repaints on this line. We're just going to grade one of each. You know, we're going to pick the one of each unless Kevin just needs to do all the Johnny B. Bads, all the Taskmasters, you know, just to talk about them.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a horrible idea. It's not bad. It's horrible. But we will finish with... his manager at the time for this episode. There's a couple of different variants. There's a dark skin variant. Teddy Long dressed as Jimmy Hart is what I would call it.
Yeah.
You get that vibe a lot more. But we're going to just grade the standard variant Jimmy Hart figure here. I love Jimmy figs. They're... Mm-hmm. They're a lot of fun. Now, one of the things that I'm not certain on is there's writings on the back of this fig. Do you happen to know that, Kevin?
That's what I was looking for, man. And I can't say off the top of my head. I'm looking for some options here, and I actually think I might have one here. Yes. Yep. There is. Not much for writing on the back of it. It looks like just three stars.
Okay. But there is something on the back. That's
something. It's so few, it almost looks out of place. But yeah, there's three stars.
Well, the pants, you know, that's one of the things that kind of looks out of place on me too. But we'll start discussing Jimmy. Got the sunglasses on. Looks like yellow was the color for sunglasses in this line.
Yeah.
This particular series, because he's got the yellow sunglasses there on the yellow face sunglasses. Not a bad representation of Jimmy's face and head sculpt. It's not the best, not the worst. I can definitely believe this is Jimmy Hart without having other markings on there. But he's got the yellow suit on. Both arms are kind of crooked to his side at an angle with the thumbs up, you know. Jimmy Hart giving you the thumbs up there. He's got the red lapel. It looks like the red shirt with a yellow collar and yellow tie on this.
Yeah.
Although if anybody could get that, Jimmy Hart 100% could. But the yellow suit, he's got Hulk on the front, on the left-hand side of the suit, with sporadic stars throughout, and red shoes. The pants are a little lackluster. Like there's one star on the right leg, two stars on the left leg. It looks like, oh yeah, just throw some stars on it. It'll be fine.
Well, he needs stars.
He needs stars, but like, I feel like if you would have done the consistency that you had on the front of the jacket all over this, you know, a little more stars, yeah. It'd be better. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. And I'm trying to see here, cause I believe that there's actually there's writing down one side of the pant leg there, and I don't know if
yes.
it's WCW or if it says Hulk. I can't quite make that part of it out, just in the pictures that I'm seeing here. So one thing that I love about this is that it's scaled down, which you don't always see. It's a little scaled down, not a ton, but it is scaled down. The face works for me. The suit, for the most part, works for me. The only thing that I don't like is the back of it. Because it just has it's 3 stars on the back of it, which that part of it seems weird. Like, there's a lot of good detail in this fig, though, from like looking at it from the front. I mean, a lot of good, and I wish I knew what it said on the leg. I can't find a proper picture, but it looks like it does say something down the right leg there. Love the suit jacket. The stars work for me. I'm okay with it. There's not a lot, like, outside of the back of it, there's not really a lot that I see that I complain about. Like, I like the clash of the red and the yellow on the suit. I don't know if I go with the white star, but then you see on the picture behind him, like, that shirt has a white star on it, or that suit coat. So I think this is the best one that we've seen so far. Not a lot I would change on this one. I even like the glasses. There's a little bit of striping in those glasses, too.
So it says Hogan down the side.
It does say Hogan down the side. Okay, perfect. Yep, nice. So, and that works out nice, too. Like, I appreciate that. There's some good detail in this fig. Best one we've seen so far. I think I'm going to go A- on this. The best face. I think the best detail. Yeah, A- for me, man. I kind of dig this fig.
I was thinking very similarly, like, that if you'd have got more stars, like, because it's just on the jacket on the back. That was one thing that I hated about the LJN, was like, your back was just plain. I was like, man, that was so much real estate that you could have done with Jimmy, like, to have details and things like that. I still would love a Rougeau Brothers version of Jimmy Hart.
Yes. Yes. All American boy.
Yeah. Speaking of all American boys, we're about to get trophies, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we don't like heavy metal. We don't like rock and roll. All we like to listen to is Barry Manilow. Sorry. It's right there. Yeah, I'm with you. A-. This is the best figure we've seen of this line today. So that will cap off our mission then. Yeah. Brought to you by J&J Figures.
Attaboy, Al. There you go. Again, go check them out. J&J, they know what they're doing. You're looking for figs? Let them look for a couple of figs for you, man. The pre-order stuff is nice. It's awesome that they're there at that point now. We can pre-order from J&J Figures. You got new stuff's coming in. Just throw a pre-order at them. They'll get it to you.
I know discussing with one of the J's, and I can't remember, that was one of the things that they were hoping to do in the future, so I'm really happy for them that it's came through. And again, we're not giving the grade this time on the mission because we've got the rest of the mission to finish next episode 88. So.
Yes, but that's a good, man. I like this. This is a special line, man. It's a good line. This is a very nostalgic line for me, so I'm glad that we took this little detour. Now, we will be back to bone-crunching action. In due time, there's, I don't know that there's a ton of these, San Francisco toy makers that we'll get through, but, yeah, it is nice to take a little detour. Was there like 50, 60 of them out?
Something like that.
Yeah. So we'll get back to BCAs when we get back to BCAs, but it is nice to kind of go back and visit some of the lines that, you know, that we went from, what, 96 to 99 in BCAs, and there was some stuff that came out before then. It's fun. I enjoy going back to them. What do you got next, Al? What do you want to do next?
I guess we're here.
Yeah, is it time? You been out there? You been hunting? Oh, got a question. Yeah, forgot about the question, man. Yeah.
Yeah. We got all fired up.
Yeah. Hit me, man. What do you got for a question?
So this week's random question, and I had it queued up. I was going to change it to which sports team leaving hurt you the most, but you're a soulless, careless person that's a Packers fan that I hope they leave you high and dry.
They never would, Al. They never would.
What is your go-to movie franchise of all time? Like, as far as if it's a, and I'm going to preface it, like, the Police Academy movies at one time were near and dear to my heart. they're not great movies for the most part, but it was just always a fun one. A lot of people enjoy the Lord of the Rings. A lot of people enjoy various like Harry Potter franchise. Oh, yeah. I can live with or without it. Like, I have just seen those in the past like 2 or 3 years, like ever. Wow. 'Cause the wife said something about, okay, I'll give it a whirl. Like, it's not bad, but it's not life altering, life changing for me by any right. means.
That's a pretty good question, Al. And
I say this because I've watched the Despicable Me movies / Minion movies so many times lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many times. that, you know, it just kind of hit me like, hey, what would be the go-to movie franchise that if this is on? Mine is Lethal Weapon. And I say that, you know, we kind of, Danny Glover and, you know, being Roger Murtaugh is near and dear to our hearts because, you know, we got a name for it. I love those. Like, granted, the first one is above and beyond anything else, like, of the rest. Like, that one is just perfect to me. Like, great villain, great story, great everything. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Then I'd probably go to the fourth one, then second, then third, you know, as far as in order. But any of those are on, I sit down and watch. I love Mel Gibson. Love Danny Glover in that. Love when they brought in Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Kevin a lot. Old Leo Getz. I feel like that's how he sells insurance now. You know, anything you need, Leo Getz. Thought about changing your name to Getz, like Kevin Getz.
Hey, man, I like
just
that.
Change it to Leo Getz. You know,
oh, man. That ain't
the Leo Getz of the insurance world. But yeah, that's my go-to, it or the Rocky movies, but I give a slight edge to because they made Rocky V, and that's an atrocity for your eyeballs. But the Lethal Weapon movies, all of those, even Lethal Weapon 5 and 6 that Always Sunny in Philadelphia made.
Yes.
If you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor.
I love It's Always Sunny. This is actually a little bit harder for me to answer than I thought it would be. I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Big Star Wars fan. And I can pretty much sit down and watch any of the Star Wars and be like, kind of lose myself in it. Like you talk about, like when you're flipping through channels mm-hmm. and you land on something, you're like, okay, I'm stopping here. Star Wars comes to mind. James Bond comes to mind.
Nice. Sean Connery.
Roger Moore.
Sean Connery.
Roger Moore. Pierce Brosnan. Roger Moore.
Daniel Craig. Sean Connery.
Daniel Craig is Daniel Craig ain't bad. It's better than I thought he would. You know, I signed the petition to not have Daniel Craig be James Bond.
You would.
I did, because I didn't want Pierce Brosnan to go anywhere.
You would.
I did, man. I was wrong.
I got one for you that I thought of for you.
Yeah.
I think if it came on, you're stopping.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
That was going to be the next thing that I mentioned. Okay. Back to the Future. Yeah, because that's so like it's kind of a four pack because Star Wars is on. I'm probably going to stop.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones is on. Probably going to stop. GoldenEye is one of the movies. I always get played that game so much. 007, James Bond movies on. I'm probably going to stop. Back to the Future. Like, I'm going to stop. Like, they're going to. Back to the Future is one that, like, when it comes on, like, I'll stop and sometimes I'll just put the remote down. You know what I mean, like I have Star Wars, you know, stuff everywhere. Like I am a big Star Wars fan. There's just something special about Back to the Future. Indiana Jones. I don't know, man. I don't know if one gets the edge. Like all of them are ones I'll sit down and watch.
Indiana Jones movie, like your movie. Which one is it?
Ah, boy.
Last Crusade or Raiders? There's only two correct choices here.
Probably Crusade.
Yeah.
Probably Crusade. And with that being said, I didn't mind the newer ones either. I really didn't. I kind of enjoyed, especially the last one. Like, I really enjoyed that movie.
I do like they tied some things together
Yeah.
And there was some symmetry in stories. That's something that I can definitely get behind and appreciate. I've never been a fan, big Temple of Doom fan. No. Short Round and I guess the female lead in this movie.
She's horrible. Not, yeah.
Not a big fan.
She's trash. Boy. I don't know, man. It's take your pick with those four. I can't. And there are some Star Wars movies I've seen so many times that, like, I will kind of pop past. Indiana Jones is so amazing. I don't know. It's always like that when they have that blend, right? When they have the kind of blend of everything. Like Back to the Future has a good blend, story, action, comedy. Indiana Jones has that. Bond, in its subtle ways, has that.
Bond's just cool, man. Like, he's just so cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about James Bond. That's a good one.
I can't pick one. It's one of those four, man. It's one of those four, and I can't tell you which one I would go. It depend on the day, really. You can't go wrong with any of them.
Yeah, that answers the question, though. You answered the mail. Like, this is go-to movie franchises. That's all right. It can be more than one. If you had one, that's fine, but that's the thing about these questions.
Yeah.
It can have multiple answers.
You know what's not bad either, and it wouldn't be a go-to for me? The Jurassic Park series.
Okay.
It's not bad. Like, it's not a go-to, but when a new one comes out, I always end up watching it.
Yeah. Twist my arm. It's like,
yeah.
One other one that I enjoy, the Mission Impossible movies.
Never got into those.
Some of these new ones, like, are fantastic. Like, I loved, I think it's 3, Philip Seymour Hoffman is the villain in Mission Impossible. Really, really dug that one. But I just really, that's probably another one that's the hitter on the, I can watch those, like, just turn one on and go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I like it, Al. I like it.
These are fun.
Yeah, I'm in. But you know what else is fun, Al? Is adding trophies to the wall, man. You're out there, you're hunting, you're finding the good stuff. You're bringing it back home. You're putting it up on your wall. You're appreciating it. Al, we got to get to trophies. What do you got this time through?
Well, I'll start with yesterday. We went to the store, and I happened to go by the Funko Pops, and they have the Batman 85 years, the Joker Funko Pop. From the original Batman 89 movie, like with the busted mouth and the teeth. Jack Nicholas is one of my favorite Jokers. It's really, Cesar Romero always holds a special place.
Of course.
Because that cheesy 66 Batman, there's something about, that was my first exposure.
Yep, me too.
And then Jack, you know, was kind of the first serious one. I thought Heath Ledger was brilliant. In that role, in the Dark Knight series. So it's really just, it's those three. Anything that, like, memorabilia that I can come across, yeah, I'll go ahead and snag it. I would love to get the McFarlane of the Joker, because I've got several Jokers, but I don't have the McFarlane, like, the Jack Nicklaus one. So that's definitely one that I'd like to snatch up if I come across it.
Yeah.
I've got the Cesar Romero from 66 and the Heath Ledger from the McFarlane line, that Dark Knight series. I had to do my Build-A-Figure Bane, of course. So. But earlier this week, got a little shipment from Mattel Creations. The bangers are here. The good old headbangers.
Beautiful.
These are excellent.
Good.
They put shorts underneath them, so they didn't have the skimpy drawers.
Boxer shorts? Are they detailed boxer shorts?
It looks like just regular shorts that they put on there.
That's a mess. Yeah.
But, I mean, they can only do so much, Kevin.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But you got the headbanger shirt, which turned out great. The soft goods shirt, like that. That's the old school.
You know, beautiful.
Headbangers design. They're beautiful figs. Very, I just kept them off the tag team shelf. They have a place on prominence in the front row. If they stay there, they may get on special display as I'm redoing this office before Kevin gets here.
Nice.
But the headbangers I got from the Jays. I hopped on a stream because they had a Jesse Ventura on that stream, Classic Superstars, and I went hard in the paint. I did not get that one.
Yeah.
Got one off the website, though. that was yesterday.
Gotcha. I was cheering you on, man. I was there for you.
But did manage to score the there was a fan spotlight or something, the Asuka with the golden mask and kind of the headdress. That's a really cool fig. I don't know if I like it or the Ultimate Edition better because it's such a good representation of Asuka at that time.
Okay.
And then I got the Elite 84 is in the bite now, the Rhea Ripley. Like kind of her first Elite with the kind of the top of the hair was all she had. She had it shaved on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I did not like that fig when it came out, but the more I've looked at it online, the more it's kind of grown on me. Like,
okay,
man, that's a really, really good representation of Rhea Ripley at that time.
I like it. Yeah.
Like, it's spot on. And I do believe for now that is it. Very slow week. I bought two batteries for a camper. That took a chunk out of the.
So you bought two batteries. Let me ask you this now. If you buy 2 9-volts, does that equal 18-volt?
No.
Okay.
No. You got to put them in series, not parallel.
Okay. All right. I'm just, you know, you've become kind of my battery guy, and I don't know anything about them. So when you're like, okay, I bought two batteries, I'm like, okay. Maybe you got 2 9-volts.
I bought 2 12-volts that I intend on putting into the boxes for the camper later today.
Okay. Nice, nice. My I actually was talking to Molly about this because I told her, I said, did you realize that a 9-volt is the tested on your tongue and the next step up is a car battery? And she goes, what? I said, yeah. I talked to Tropical about it. It blew my mind. I didn't believe it either. And then I started thinking, can you test a car battery on your tongue then? Or what is it about a 9-volt that that's the only one you can do that on?
I mean, you complete the circuit on the 9-volt. That's what it's doing. So that's why it's shocking you.
Your tongue is completing the circuit?
Yeah, because you're getting the positive and negative. Like you're completing a circuit there, so to speak. That's why it gives you a little zippity-doo-dah.
So if your tongue was long enough, potentially could?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would not want to go that route.
All right. I was just, battery questions. You're
quit
my battery guy.
Battery, yeah. Moron.
Yeah. Well, isn't that how everybody tests them, right? 9-volt?
No.
What do you mean no? That's how everybody tests a 9-volt. Stick it to your tongue.
There's battery testers you can just plug them to, and it can tell you what the life is and all that stuff.
Huh. I always, as long as I've been alive, I've known you can test a 9-volt with your tongue, and that's how you test it. I didn't realize there's other options available. I mean, anyways,
if you get the nips pierced, you could test them there too, and just give yourself a real zap.
Test them on my nips. Test them on my nards. Who knows? people have been doing that with car batteries before. I think Shane O'Mac maybe.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of hunting now. Didn't do an awful lot, man. I was out there a little bit. I did pick up. I got a package in from the J&J's. Man, Nation of Domination 2-pack. Rockin' Farouk. And I got that.
You stole that.
I would say I got that.
I was so happy for you.
That was a crazy good deal because I think I got it. It was on the reel. I was on the real good deal special, man. It's what they call it, the steal of the night type of a situation, man. That was I was super pumped.
It was right around, I thought it was like under $30 for a 2-pack, which is
I think it was in that vicinity. I was just over 30, maybe. I don't remember, but I was like, how is nobody else in on this?
About to jump in, and I saw you bid, and I was just like, okay.
And I appreciate that. So I got that in. I was at Target just last night, actually, and they have the Hurricane Funko Pop.
No.
$4, Al.
Nice.
And I'm not like a big pop guy. Like I'm kind of selective. I'll get pops here and there, depending on who it is, the people that I like. But I'm never going to turn down a $4 pop if it's a wrestler, and it was the Hurricane, who I've always liked. So that worked out nice for me. I also picked up, and I wasn't going to do this anymore, Al. I was done on Warriors, right? I was out on Warriors. The Warriors' Greatest Hits has a little bit different paint scheme to it.
Yeah.
And that one is that the first IC championship win?
I believe so. That's the one that was, I think, in Series 4.
Okay.
Of the Legends line back in the day. Because he's in the white trunks.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of black in the face paint. Yeah. So I went, eh. Yeah, I'm not going to turn it down now. I saw it a couple of times, but it was time for me to bring it home. So brought it home, and that was pretty much it, man. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I brought in, and nothing is coming to mind. So that was it, man. Just a little Warrior action, a little Hurricane action, easy peasy.
Nice.
Gearing up for the hat buying I'm doing all over the country on my way to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. We're gonna be all over the place.
Get an Orioles hat if you're buying one in Baltimore. Get an Orioles hat.
Yeah, I don't know how long we're gonna be in Baltimore, but
it's like a couple hours, I think.
Okay, well, maybe
I've seen the flight itinerary.
You know more about this trip than I do. Right, that can get off my lawn. My wife asking me to ask you things when she's already sent you the flight pattern, man. It's like, you got a direct link to them. Just send them the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cassie's, I travel with my wife. It's very simple. I just go, like, this is where you go. All right. That's where I am. Like, I don't pay attention. I just.
Here?
Where am I sitting? Here? Okay. There. On the, okay. Got it. Over here. That's where I'm sitting.
My wife says I have to sit here.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much, man. And it works. It works. So far, nothing's gone wrong. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Why would you,
man,
say that right now? We're so close, and you said that right now.
Don't worry about it, man. It'll be just fine. I'm looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to getting down there and seeing you guys. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this son of a bitch up?
I was just going to say, you can find us on the socials, on the Twitter, at TotSpod. You can find our main channel show for Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast at GBW Pods on Twitter. You can find our sister show, the Year of Duke and Rogue Podcast, at Year of Pod. Find us on Facebook, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast. Give us a follow. Give us a like. You know, I am attempting to post more things. I know I did the Career Day Special logo on there. Instagram at GBW Pods. Again, same there. Instagram is a lot more fun because I can tag the songs to it. And I usually put a lot of AC/DC songs that have Kevin's photo on it. And he loves that so much.
I don't have an Instagram.
Big AC/DC guy.
Don't have an Instagram. So now hearing
big
this,
AC/DC
I'm,
guy.
Not a big AC/DC guy at all. Not even close. And hearing that makes me want to get an Instagram. Just so I could say this is inaccurate.
No. But no, got that. We did our Career Day Special. It dropped last Friday. Give it a listen. We had a lot of fun with that, talking about the career gimmicks, the working man's gimmicks, so to speak, the wrestling world. Shout outs, Ted, Manny. I'm glad to hear both of you, my North Carolina brethren, are safe. Manny, keep kicking out, brother. Every day. I know it's bleak, you know, and it sucks right now, but I am hoping that it gets resolved and things really start looking up for you guys, you know, as soon as possible. The Jays, you know, fantastic friends of this show. Dougie Nunya, always love chatting with him up. My boy John Klintzman, I know he went to SmackDown last night. It was in Nashville.
Johnny C.
So he found a chase in the wild, and he posted it to the T4L, what used to be the T4L chat group and Dougie's like, you selling it? I was like, oh yeah. Anytime you find a chase, if it pops up to Dougie's, like, hey, you want to move this? I know a guy, but just, it's fun when you meet people in the FIG world that are, shout out to my man, Travis there at church. He did rob my local, so it wasn't a line I was looking for, but the recent Monday Night Wars with the Build-A-Figure Vincent.
Yeah.
Like the Triple H, the Shawn. Like he's like, yeah, I got the whole set. He's like, it was from your Walmart, but.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, I wasn't looking for any of those, so
okay.
You're good. You start getting my Build-A-Figure dusty, we're gonna throw hands.
Not bad. So. Yeah. Get them ready, man. Get them ready. Yeah. Well, and I just obviously, you know, Manny, MF for Ted, hope you guys are doing well, man. Just keep moving forward. That's all you can do. Also, my brother's over at the Shining Wizards podcast. Catch him live every Monday night. That's myself, HK, along with Brundon, KJG, Tony, and main man Double T.
I want to give a shout out. Happy anniversary. It's a little late to Double T and Ree.
Yeah, yeah.
Such gracious hosts to us when we went to the cookout. But happy great anniversary. Yeah. You crazy kids.
Yeah, you crazy kids. No, great people. Double T and his wife are amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on the anniversary there. Well, with that, Al, we will, we'll pin this one here. And I want to say thank you to everybody hanging out, kicking some people off the lawn, viewing a couple of figs, seeing what movies are on the list, a little nostalgia sports talk, teams moving, teams going. Packers are always stay. We know that. With that, Al, everybody, be good to one another. Support one another. Take care of one another. Thank you very much, everybody.